diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. In 2006, we started the Paracast with the previous co-host, and we had no clue where it was going to be, where it was going to end or begin. We were just taking a stab in the dark, as people do, shooting from the hip, no long-range game plan. And over the next 5.5 years, the show became a cult favorite around the world. Last year, we began being syndicated in the USA on the GCN, or Genesis Communications Network. And folks, that's the network on which Alex Jones is the premier act. He's the show where Charlie Sheen in his craziest mode appeared. Okay, so we're on a network with a lot of listeners. I got the word from our affiliate manager just a few days ago that effective this weekend, the Paracast debuts on WVNJ 1130 AM in Teaneck, New Jersey, which covers New York City, most of New York City, Long Island, and New Jersey. We're in the number one market in the nation. Imagine that.
It's a big time, Gene.
Well, we just need some big time income to go with it.
Yeah, that would help, wouldn't it? Jeez.
I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's exciting news. And, you know, we're making inroads in other cities as well. We'll have updates on how this whole thing is developing. And it's exciting. I think that there's a tremendous thirst out there for people to get non-true believer and non-debunker, you know, somewhere in between, information about these wonderful subjects that we're also interested in. And I think it just shows that the quality of the listeners and people, you know, contacting their radio, local radio stations and asking for the show to be included on there. We're really starting to see some movement on that front. And I think, Gene, if anybody deserves to have a bunch of big market audiences, I think it's the Paracast.
I think so, too. I think that far too long we've had certain radio shows that are out there just to pander to their listeners. They're not interested in factual information. They just want to have those wild claims and say, gosh, golly, gee whiz, isn't this extraordinary? Let's get on to the next guest and the next commercial.
Right. Well, we separate the signal from the noise. That's our motto.
And this week we also have a brand new logo on the site, courtesy of a person who chooses to remain anonymous, but it's a brilliant piece of artwork, and it represents our new direction. But with all the good news, there's something that's happened out there, and I guess we've got to get in front of the story. That's not so pleasant.
Nope.
Okay. Before we explain what's going on, before we even tell you about our great guest for this week, over the years, we've had several appearances from a longtime UFO paranormal investigator, Phil Imbrogno. He reportedly worked with Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He investigated sightings for years. This week, he announced that he is pulling out of paranormal research. But therein lies a tale. Chris, what went on?
Well, the Paracast I really need to underscore this. The Paracast has quite a width and breadth of listenership, and some of our listeners tend to be on the uber skeptic side, almost to the point of being debunkers, if you will. But one thing that you can't argue with is good research. And when Phil was on the last time, one of our listeners just felt something was a little strange about him touting the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, and which he has had as a, you know, he's supposedly just received last year his doctorate from MIT, and he had a master's from there. And our listener took it upon himself to just double check with MIT about his credentials. And much to his surprise, or maybe not, he found out that there was no record of a Phil Imbrogno at MIT. He has sat on this story, much to his credit, to make sure that he's dotted his I's and crossed his T's and not gotten ahead of himself here. But myself and another investigator have done some digging into this, and sure enough, there is no record of a Phil Imbrogno at MIT. And, I mean, the guy's been a middle school science teacher for, I think, at least 20 years. He's written some excellent books. I've always looked up to his work. I don't know the man personally. I've never actually met him. But I've read quite a number of his books, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. And to find out that there's been not only an embellishment of educational credentials, but an outright, you know, falsehood about where he has gained his postgraduate degrees from. And I can't find any excuse for that. And unfortunately, we're going to have to, like you said, Gene, stay out in front of this story and announce that, hey, this could be the reason why Mr. Imbrogno has decided to totally divest himself from any involvement in the paranormal field. Because he got caught. He's been busted red-handed. And this really bums me out. I mean, I've looked up to Phil. I've looked up to his work. And now all that work is being called into question. And I really think it's unfortunate. I think we owe it to our audience. We owe it to our wonderful, dedicated listeners who have gone the extra mile and done the research and actually asked the hard questions. And you know, myself and another investigator have been able to verify this very unfortunate fact. And unfortunately, we have to be the ones to really break the news and tell you we have a major scandal here in you know, the realm of the UFO and the paranormal. It's I'm really sad to have to talk like this and say this, but, you know, facts are facts. And, you know, if you have some sort of rationale that you can, you know, come up with, Mr. Imbrogno, to explain this discrepancy in what you claim and what appears to be the real deal, you know, we invite you to go on back on the show here and talk to us about it. But, you know, Gene, it's just a sad day for the field when we find out something like this about somebody who, you know, a lot of people out there hold in high regard.
Unfortunately also, and I'm sad too, because we had some great shows with Phil over the years. Unfortunately, this happens occasionally in all fields where people have fake credentials and they get busted eventually and they, of course, have to pay by being ostracized, losing their jobs, etc. We've had situations, for example, in the journalistic industry, and we'll get into more of this for a reason in a moment, where newspaper reporters for places even like the New York Times have made up stories. And as a result, they get fired. I believe one person won a Pulitzer Prize based on a made-up story. I might have that information wrong. It happens occasionally. It's unfortunate that people do this in all walks of life. They fake their credentials. Now, as a matter of fact, if you want to ask about my credentials, I have none. I don't pretend to have anything. I have a college-level education on broadcasting. That's it, folks. The rest is from the School of Hard Knocks. That's all I know. So if you like what I say, it's not because of my education. And I hope I've learned a few things in the last 400 decades. But that's it. I'm not claiming anything special. And I know Chris has had this incredible amount of field research experience, but he's not here touting his great doctorates, all 1,000 doctorates that he has. You know, if you like his research, if you appreciate what he does, if you like him on the show and he gets better and better every week, and that's not something to say. I've been listening to the show as I do post-production, and he's getting better and better. He's really a crack interviewer. He has a wealth of knowledge we haven't only begun to tap. And this could be better for everyone. I mean, this man is fabulous. And I think our listeners, as you learn to know Chris as I do, as a friend, as a colleague, and also as an expert investigator, you'll appreciate that. That's one way where we're blessed on the Paracast. We have a real field investigator, not just a couple of radio broadcasters. And we're going to have also, in just a minute or two here, a real journalist. Journalist who worked for the National Enquirer. And people say, well, okay, it's show business and scandals and all that crazy stuff. No, Paul Bannister,
more than that.
He's a lot more. Paul Bannister is a serious journalist with an incredible background and war stories like you can't believe. He's got a new book out called Tabloid Man. It's just reaching the stands. I know that the printed edition should arrive in the United States soon. It's available as an e-book. And believe you me, he worked for the National Enquirer during their heyday in the 1980s. And he met the rich and the famous, even Prince Charles. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I can't wait. This is going to be such a fun episode. It just reminds me of that wonderful scene in the original Men in Black movie where Tommy Lee Jones stops at the newsstand, picks up one of the tabloid rags, and you know, of course, Will Smith goes, well, what are you reading that for? He goes, well, you know, I got a find out what's going on out there. And he says, you don't believe that. And he says, well, there's got to get this information out to the public somehow.
Paul Bannister is going to get the word out. Coming up next on
The Paracast.
Okay, so who is watching your home when you're not there? Help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. It's the leader in home security. Remember, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. It comes with world-famous ADT yard signs. The monitoring cost is just $1 a day. You probably pay more for coffee. This is the safety for your family and your possessions. You can save up to 20% on homeowners insurance. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of equipment and activation free. Call 1-866-778-3127. Call 1-866-778-3127. And here's our fast disclaimer. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35 to $39 per month. Call for terms and conditions and license numbers.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare, one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Paul Bannister. The book, is called Tabloid Man. I'm the baffling chair of death with a subtitle revealed, Shocking Secrets of the Scandal Sheets. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. Now, as I was saying in the preamble with Chris, years ago we always thought of the tabloids, the supermarket tabloids, as it were, as a sleazy form of journalism. You didn't take them seriously, I guess, until Senator John Edwards and his secret came out because of the National Enquirer. So, of all the things one wants to do, how did you get yourself working with one of those publications?
Well, hello, Gene, Chris. Well, it's straightforward. I was working for national newspapers in Britain. I'd worked for the Daily Mail and the Sun and the Telegraph, and I also did a bit of time with the BBC. So I actually came from a fairly respectable background, and they had hunted me, along with a lot of other Brit journalists, because the publisher of the Enquirer, maybe we'll talk about that later, but he wanted Brit journalists because we were in a very, very competitive field, and he wanted people who his attack dogs.
Let me just break that down a little bit here. What is there about British journalists compared to American journalists? Not as competitive here because of the number of newspapers out there?
But some of it. The other is that we're all taller, more handsome, and more intelligent.
But we'll speak for yourself.
We'll not mention. At that time, I'm talking back in the 70s, 80s, there were, eight national daily newspapers plus a couple of regional papers in every city. So you had 10, a dozen papers maybe, evening papers too, don't forget, all in a small space, 60 million people in a place the size of California. Easy to distribute them. People would take one, two, maybe even three daily papers, two mornings and an evening. A lot of competition on stories. The result was you got these very competitive journalists. I mean, if you didn't deliver, you weren't going to keep your job. Of course, Pope wanted that when he started the Enquirer.
Now, we always thought that they were just making stories up. What were the marching orders from the publisher?
No, let me just do a quick rundown on the history, paint a bit of background, if you like. Pope was the son of a quarry millionaire. He was a mafioso. He was from New Jersey. He bought the New York Enquirer for $75,000 off a loan from his godfather, literally his godfather, Frank Costello, who was the capo of the Bonanno mob in New York. He turned the New York Enquirer into a million circulation a week paper, mostly on gory stories. He saw that people gathered around traffic accidents, for instance. So he said, well, if they're attracted to those, let's run them in the paper. And so he did. He ran gory pictures and had headlines like, I use my dead baby's face for an ashtray. Anyway, Pope got into...
Was it all true, though? You're saying it was all true, but he sensationalized it.
Yeah, he did, actually. He used court cases and traffic accidents, quite literally. Pictures of bloody bodies from murders and so on. He got crime scene pictures. And this was a newspaper, a news magazine, a weekly news magazine in New York. And he moved it to Florida. Various reasons I discuss in the book. Don't need to go into it now. And... He realized he couldn't market these things the way he wanted. He couldn't market through a supermarket checkout, which was one of his strokes of genius, I feel, because they wouldn't let that kind of raunchy story in among the frozen produce and so on, So he modeled the new Enquirer, the National Enquirer, on Reader's Digest. It would carry about 70 or 80 stories every week. And it was all kinds of categories of stories. It might be some celebrity, not as much as there is now, obviously. Occult, predictions, research into the occult, ghost stories, things like that. How-to stories, the reader has to be more creative, how to be a better listener, how to choose a pair, that kind of thing. And then sort of help stories, like how to be thrifty, stretch your grocery dollar, government waste stories, reader polls, UFO stories, medical breakthroughs, a whole spectrum. Now, over time... And since Pope's death in the 80s, the Enquirer has gone to become a celebrity rag sheet. It's really just following celebrities. But then in the 70s and 80s, it really wasn't. It was really like a downmarket Reader's Digest. Lots of stories, lots of subjects.
Now, how do they ensure the accuracy of all this stuff?
Oh, well, very well. First of all, they didn't lose any libel action. And that's a consideration. The libel insurance was in the region of $40,000 a month because, somebody hits you with a $20 million suit. That's a lot of premiums. So Pope spent nearly $2 million a month on a research department. Everything that went in the paper literally was checked. If there was a direct quote, the reporters were instructed to tape record interviews. And if we use a direct quote, we had somebody in the back room there in the research department going over the story before it went in the paper, and they would literally put a dot over every word of a direct quote to ensure it was on the tape, on the interview tape. And they would check the other facts in the story, too.
If you know, a lot of traditional journalists just rely on notebooks where quotes can be different.
Pope didn't trust us reporters. I came from a background where the reporter got it right or got fired. Pope's attitude was, we don't want you to write the story. We want you to give us a file of a couple of thousand words for a 300-word story. And we will rewrite your file into the story we want.
Okay, so you're compartmentalizing. It's almost like the way TV does it today with the producer, and then they do the actual research and writing, and it's read by a host. In your case, someone like you would do the research, the legwork, and they had in-house writers who would take the material.
That's true, yeah, and they would write it to the house style, right to the Enquirer style. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, the reporters went out there and slavishly got the exact thing, because there was one big, big flaw with the system, and that was that Pope was such a tyrant, and he created editorial teams that worked against each other. So he had maybe a dozen or 14 editors, and each had a team of 5, 6, 7, 8 reporters. But they didn't work cooperatively. They worked in competition, and literally in competition. They often put two editorial teams into the same city for a week and say, let's see who comes up with the most stories, the most good stories. And the loser stands a good chance of losing his job. So what tended to happen was the editors, because of the system that was set up, slavishly followed Pope's dictates. We had a system of leeches. I put an idea up. Let's interview Gene Steinberg, right?
That would be the first bad decision you make this week.
Okay, we'll go with Chris O'Brien then.
Much better. Chris, you're all set. They're going to cover you in the National Enquirer. They're going to follow you around.
Oh,
well, we might say, let's interview Chris O'Brien on his travels, you know, in hunting down the paranormal. Now, during our interview with him, he might come up with a much better story about how he'd photographed a ghost. They didn't want that because it wasn't on the lead sheet. It wasn't the idea that Gene Pope had approved. So you get a better story, don't want it. Equally, if they said, well, let's prove that seeing a ghost cures cancer, we might go to 30 doctors and 29 say, you're an absolute idiot, go away. And one would say, well, that's a maybe.
And so the maybe, the maybe is the one you go with. Paul Bannister is our guest. We're talking about Tabloid Man. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Himbi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon and Answer 250 caps. Summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. Paul Bannister is our guest. He's one of those Brits hired by the National Enquirer to do the research and cover those stories. So basically, Paul, they would go into a story with a slant.
With a preconceived idea, and
sure.
then the reporter's job was to stand up the idea. I mean, that really is the way it is. I got my job with the Enquirer because of a story I put up to them, and that was this baffling chair of death story.
Tell us about the baffling chair of death, because that kind of relates to our subject matter here.
Oh, indeed, yeah. The basic line was that an old chair in a pub in Yorkshire, in England, would kill anybody who sat in it within 3 days. The chair itself wouldn't actually commit the murder, but if you sat in the thing, you're going to die within 3 days. That was the legend. So I put this story up, and they said, yeah, go and do it. And I went along, and I talked to the publican. I saw the chair, which was under guard, basically. They'd taken it out of the pub and hidden it. Not hidden it, but it was nobody could accidentally sit in it. And the publican detailed half a dozen deaths for me, you know, the builder who'd fallen off a roof 2 hours after sitting in it, the guy who left the pub and drove up a tree, and so on and so on. The guy who fell dead of a heart attack the next day. Now some of us could say, well, you know, if he'd been drinking his lunch and then he'd gone, he was making a roof, chances were he had a good chance falling off it. Anyway, I filed the story, and they said, well, 6-7 deaths, that's not enough. You know, we don't need a whole graveyard. This is a killer chair that's hundreds of years old. Whoa. So anyway, I did more work and came up with more names and so on for them. And later that sort of impressed them enough that when they started to recruit for the new Enquirer, which had just moved to Florida, they recruited me, and I became their chief reporter of the paranormal.
This was quite a ways back, too. We're talking 1973, so evidently you were able to you know, maintain a good relationship with the tyrant, Pope. I mean, the story that you tell in the book about the security guard asking him how he was doing when he walked in the morning, and he fired him on the spot for asking him how he was doing. I mean, that's a tough boss.
You know, he was allowed to say, "Good morning, Mr. Pope," but he added that, "How you doing?" And that got him fired. I mean, when his wife and his mother-in-law were lining up with were jumping the line that was lining up to view the celebrity, the Christmas decorations at the Enquirer, they just naturally, you know, she's the wife of the owner of the place. She walks at the head of the line of all these people, you know, from Michigan and New Jersey who just come down during the winter. And he goes, wait, no, you can't do that. This is a democracy. You get to the back of the line to his wife. she parked her car on the grass at their house. He gave her a mouthful. And she said, "Well, I'm more important than grass." "No, you're not. Get off my lawn." I mean, he was a single-minded, focused guy who absolutely brooked no resistance. One little story that came back from his wife was a Friday morning. There was a huge rainstorm going on, and the maintenance guy is washing the windows of the house, and as fast as he can squeegee them dry, the rain's going on again. She said, "Why, you know, Miguel," whatever, said, "why are you doing that?" He said, "Well, Mr. Pope told me to do them on Friday mornings." And he knew that was it. If he stepped out of line, he was going to lose his job.
Okay, so the baffling chair of death, not enough dead people. Did you actually find people who sat in that chair and nothing ever happened?
No, I never did, actually. But then again, wow. It wouldn't be that remarkable. I thought, and I'm not going to tell you the finish of this story, but I thought I'd found out later when I went back to do more on it that I'd sorted out the secret. The chair was in a pub that was right next to a World War II airfield. And three Canadian bomber squadrons flew out of there, and they had 20% casualties. And I figured that had to have been the root of it, you know, that all these young men who'd been in the pub, then gone on the raid and not come back the next day. And I figured that was really where it came from. You see, the original story was set in 1702 when a murderer who claimed the chair as his own cursed it. And before he was taken out of the pub and hanged at the crossroads, that really happened. That guy's name was Thomas Busby, and he's in the county records there in Yorkshire. And the pub is still there. It's called the Busby Stoop. The stoop was an old name for gallows, by the way. The chair isn't there. The chair is now in a museum, and it's mounted high on the wall with a chain across it so nobody can sit in it.
You made no attempt to sit in this chair, or you wouldn't.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
I had to make a television commercial once for a book I wrote back way back called Strange Happenings. I went down to Palm Springs to film it, and they have this chair sitting there. They go, "Okay, sit." I said, "I'm not sitting in that stupid thing." But fortunately, they got it from a props house in Hollywood, and it was a replica. So I said, "Okay, I will sit in it then." But I did look underneath first of all to make sure it was a prop.
What a great story. I could see why they picked up on it. And you were like one of the first of, I think, the sixth reporter hired by Pope for the New Enquirer.
Yeah, that's true, actually. We got to about 80, 85 reporters, and I was one of the six, seven, eight senior reporters there. But as I say, I mostly worked on paranormal stories. I did some celeb, some crime, and so on. But just to go back to the churn, if I may, much later I did stories with Zelenskaya, with some of the Soviets who were working on imbuing objects, inanimate objects, with feelings of confusion or hate or fear. And then this is absolutely true, and they were handing these over as gifts to foreign diplomats or people they wanted to influence. And with the idea of confusing or their thought patterns, or they worked on some bizarre stuff. The Soviets really, really had some interesting research in the psychic. And what it comes down to is it might be the same root as this chair, that it had somehow been imbued with evil. And the Soviets, you know, in the 1980s, were working on the same premise.
Did you ever find evidence in any of the research you did, any of the stories, that the stuff, whatever the strange event or paranormal property, was genuine as far as you were concerned, or were you just looking for a story, it didn't matter?
Oh, no, I found some. I worked on some absolutely straight-up stories. I mean, let me deal out one whole area, and that's the commercial psychics. Most of them are well-meaning frauds. But, you know, I worked on a very significant series of stories with the Stanford Research Institute guys, Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ. Puthoff was a Stanford professor. Targ was a laser physicist. And they had a nine-year, $1.1 million annual contract with the CIA to develop people as psychic spies. And they wrote a couple of books about it later, but the Inquirer broke that story. They were doing this remote viewing technique, which enabled them to find, for instance, a Soviet bomber that had gone down in Zaire in the jungle. They found it before the Soviets could find it. It wasn't visible from the air, and they did it with a psychic sitting in a laboratory in Palo Alto, California. We could go on at some length, actually, about other experiments they did, which, you know, in which I witnessed and had some small part in myself.
Did you ever try harnessing your abilities, or do you have any?
Not really. No, I don't have any abilities or anything. When as a child, I saw the same ghost twice in the house that we lived in, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't terrifying. It was just an old man doing the same thing. And when I mentioned it to my mother, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. She asked me to describe him and said, "Yeah, it's Mr. Isherwood. He used to own this place, you know. Just a little old man who was up to he just walked from one room to the next upstairs. I didn't even know it was a ghost, but I just thought it was a man, you know."
Mm-hmm. So you just took it as a matter of stride.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been actually been spoken to by a ghost. I have a ghost voice on tape. It's on my website, by the way. If any of your listeners care to listen to it, they can go and have a thrill.
I'll tell you what, we'll forward our listeners to that site as we progress with our next segment. Paul Bannister is the guest. He's the tabloid man. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Never buy home canning jar lids again.
No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Paul Bannister talking about his experiences investigating the paranormal as a reporter for the National Enquirer. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, in exploring some of these things about the ghost voice, I want to ask you in a moment. There are conspiracy theories about Gene Pope. Oh, yeah, sure. And, you know, some stuff there, some pretty odd stuff that gets into the government conspiracies and all sorts of shenanigans there. Can you maybe outline some of that for us?
I can only tell you what I know for facts. One is that Pope made no secret at all of his mafia links. The other was that he had worked for the CIA psychological warfare department for a while. Now, people have suggested that, you know, the Enquirer was a vehicle for contradictory stories, you know, that they wanted to, for instance, debunk or actually propose UFOs were real. I've heard both sides of that, to confuse the Soviets because, you know, they felt that if a story ran in the Enquirer, it was either absolute rubbish or it was something real. I don't believe any of those particular conspiracy stories. I'm sort of inclined towards the Enquirer as a laundry for illegal money, because I know how freely they spend. They really, really lash money about on anything. As long as we had a receipt, we could spend. If I wanted to rent a helicopter for the weekend and on a story, then they didn't even care. You know, it was that kind of thing. But no, I don't think there was any massive conspiracy involving Pope. He was just a single-minded man who ran a very successful magazine. I mean, he was selling almost 5 million a week on a regular basis, and on some issue, the big issue was over 7 million when they had the cover of Elvis Presley in his coffin.
Mm. Did the National Enquirer in its early years, and we know what they did with former Senator Edwards now, in the early years they break major stories that the rest of the mainstream media had to pick up on?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They nailed another presidential contender, that was Gary Hart. Do you remember Monkey Business?
Uh-huh.
He was running. O.J. Simpson was nailed because of the Enquirer's team who dug up his whatever the shoes. I've forgotten what the shoes were called. But they tied him to the bloody footprint. Gary Condit went down the tubes because of the Enquirer and the other tabloids. They should have actually got to stop Jim Jones and the Jonestown thing. We had that story in essence. We had the story tipped to us, and we had a guy on it, but Pope himself didn't really care about it. And I think if he'd acted a couple of weeks before he did, that massacre at Jonestown, that terrible tragedy, that would have saved 900 people. But Pope poo-pooed the idea. The editor who came to him with it was denigrated by Pope at the time. Here's the deal. The guy says, Mr. Pope, here's a great story. And he said, I don't think it is. And the guy had the temerity to bring it up the next week at the Page One meeting. And Pope said, be quiet. Then it happened. A couple of weeks later, the editor who brought the thing up was fired because he couldn't have this example of walking around the office of a guy who proved the publisher wrong, you know?
Oh, man. That's really brutal. That's rude.
Very cold.
Kind of understandable for that personality, though.
Probably, but, you know, Pope operated in an atmosphere of fear. You know, you've got to hang one to encourage the rest. And he did that. Most Friday afternoons, you could see a little knots of, you know, girls standing in the corridors sobbing with somebody just being fired. You know, an assistant there was fired because he put a memo through and it had a spelling mistake in it. And Pope happened to see the memo and he didn't even know who'd sent it. He just said, get rid of the dummy. And they fired the guy that afternoon.
Man, how did you survive for so long there?
I stayed on the road a lot.
Yeah, stay out of the office, stay out of everybody's
way.
Keep
your head below the level of the trench. No, he actually had a small affection, I think, for the reporters. The reporter didn't get too much flack in those terms. In fact, you know, just this week I had a note from a friend of mine who was a reporter at the time, and here's an example of two things. It's how he spent money and how he didn't care about it. When that miniseries Roots came out, which had to be in the 70s or early 80s, somebody had the idea to send a reporter back to, where was it set, Kenya, Nigeria? I can't think. Anyway, they sent a reporter called Rod Gibson back there with the first four episodes or something to show it to the tribe that Kunta Kinte came from. And apparently Rod sent me a note just this week because of Tabloid Man and said, you might be interested to know, I went back there. He said, I ran this movie for him in this village. I had to power it up from a car battery, you know, and run the projector. And I wrote this story and came back at great expense. And it was killed. They weren't going to run it. And I happened to see, you know, Mr. Pope by the notice board or something. And I said, Mr. Pope, you know, what happened to the story? Pope, he said, he looked at me like I was a puppy. He just peed on the carpet, you know. He said, well, it wasn't interesting. It wasn't any good. And he said, but Mr. Pope, I thought it was a terrific story. He said, well, Rod, you were there. In other words, you know, it was interesting to him, but not to GP. And he spent probably $5,000 or $10,000 to get the story and just killed it and spiked it.
Wow.
When did Pope's reign at the National Enquirer end?
When he died in 88, I think it was.
Okay. We're talking about 23 years ago. Okay, in the 23 years since his death, what changes have been wrought over the National Enquirer?
Oh, huge ones, Gene, huge. The paper was sold soon after his death to a couple of guys who were basically asset strippers. They ran it for a year and lived off the inventory of stories, so they didn't have any particular outlay on editorial costs. Then they went public and they showed these figures that showed how little they'd spent, and enough people were convinced by them that the paper, you know, that they made a ton of money off the initial purchase offering. And since then, the stocks have steadily declined to zero, or very close to it, pennies anyway. They laid off a few hundred people, and the tone of the paper changed considerably. Pope spent and spent and spent. He was taking about $6 million a year out of the paper for himself. In the first year after these guys got it, they made more than $70 million for themselves. Pope was plowing all the money back in. And then the tone of the paper changed, and it became a celebrity scandal sheet and not much else.
Yeah, and they changed their format, too. They went color, they went to a smaller size.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like People magazine with sleeves.
Yeah, they all the tabloids are owned by the same group now. One man, David Pecker, cobbled it together with $500 million worth of debt. And cobbled it. Now the Globe, Inquirer, Star, Sun, they're all Examiner, they're all under one roof.
Is that American media? Is that who you're
American
referring to?
American media, yeah. And yeah, now they're
interesting story there. About that in the anthrax attacks. I'm surprised that more people don't know about that. One of the victims of the anthrax attacks after 9/11 was the owner or one of the managers of the American media. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it was Bob Stevens. He was a photo editor there who died. He happened to be in the mailroom at the wrong time, and somebody sent in a picture of, I think it was Britney Spears or somebody, with the anthrax in it, and they said, "Look at this, you know, look at this idiot sent us this," and he handled it, and it cost him his life. They never did solve it.
But now, for the rest of the reporters, any of you ever find your life in danger because of the things you did?
I don't know about that. Yes, certainly. A soldier in was it Salvador, Honduras? I can't remember. Put his rifle on the end of my nose. I think that counts, doesn't it?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I've been menaced by a ghost. A gunman shot at me in Northern Ireland. Michael Jackson nearly caused us to get stampeded and cut to pieces by our shop window. Gidget kicked me out of the house. Kangaroo spat on me. All kinds of people threatened me, from Tony Curtis to the French police, George Best, Bob Hope's daughter. Oh, JonBenet Ramsey's neighbors, the hitman in New York, New Jersey. Oh, gosh.
A hitman in New Jersey. Now, that one had to be frightening, more so than the neighbor of a celebrity.
Well, fortunately, he was already in jail, but it's still, that was a fellow called Kuklinski. He's dead now. He's the Iceman. And he'd murdered more than 100 people. And his technique, one of his favorite techniques, was he'd load a little spray bottle with cyanide, and then he'd approach his target face-to-face on the street as they were walking by. He'd pretend to be sneezing into his handkerchief, and he'd spray the guy in the face with cyanide. And the fellow would drop down within 6 to 10 seconds, look like he'd had a heart attack on the street.
So you couldn't tell, I guess, unless you had evidence.
Well, who knows?
Okay, let me ask you about that in a moment. Paul Bannister, the book is Tabloid Man. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.